Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our special guest speaker. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
So as Carly said, I'm Ted Humphrey. My family and I have been attending here for 11 years. Carolyn, I didn't realize that you and Jason are also just behind us there. We have three boys, three young adult sons, and I want to just open by sharing how I came to be sharing this message. So for those of you who may remember, back in October, we had a family business meeting. And in that meeting, the advisory board had decided with Kevin and Molly that the revenue hasn't been keeping up with the expenses in the church. We needed to make some adjustments. And so they agreed that Kevin and Molly would go to halftime salary and halftime work for the church. And after the meeting, I was just kind of kibitzing with Kevin at the back of the church. And I said, you know, I wonder, Kevin, like, what percentage of Thrive do you think tithes? And he said, I honestly have no idea. He said, I don't look at the giving. I certainly don't know how much money people make. So I don't know. And I said, you know, I'm not saying that that's like the answer, because we've had COVID and we've had some families move away who I'm sure were really strong contributors and it's a season. But I thought it'd be like good to have somebody like talk on tithing, probably besides you and Molly, right? Because there's the kind of the, at least the appearance of it look being self-serving. If you do it, you should have someone else do it. He's like, that's a great idea. Will you do it? I was like, oh, I did not see that coming. And I said, well, let me pray about it. That's always my standard answer. So I prayed about it for a couple of weeks. I was like, yeah, I prayed about it. Like, yeah, sometimes if you want me to do that, like, yeah, I would be happy to do that. He's like, how about January 5th? Like, ooh, I didn't see that coming either. So 0 for 2. So here I am. Okay, so I want to begin by simply defining a term, and that is the term tithe. And so it's really simple. The term tithe means tenth or tenth part. And it's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's an Old Testament word for it, which I can't pronounce. And there's a New Testament Greek word for it that I also can't pronounce. Although I see the deca, which is like 10, right? So I'm thinking the Greek one makes a little bit more sense to me. But the point is, when you read the word tithe in your Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that's what it means. It means tenth. Okay. So with that, I want to take a little poll, right? Anonymous survey. Elisha was like, have them raise their hands. Who here doesn't tithe? Raise your hand. I was like, that's really good. But I have another idea. So we're going to use our phones and software to take an anonymous poll, because I'm curious, like back to the question that Kevin and I discussed, like kind of what's the giving habits. So just go ahead and scan that QR code. If that does not work for you for some reason, you can also just go on your browser on your phone to menti.com, menti.com, and then there's a 8-digit code there. All right, is everyone able to kind of get in there and see it? You're in? All right. Okay, so I just want to encourage you to be honest, because it is totally anonymous. I also want to say it's not like an official survey of Thrive. This is like, Ted's just really curious, and I thought you might be too. All right. I had one other disclaimer, I guess, before we do the survey, and that is this message is not fundamentally about you giving to Thrive. It really is about the spiritual practice of giving and tithing, and really to answer a question around that. And, you know, I'm not on the advisory board. I don't owe Kevin or Molly any special favors, right? They didn't ask me to lean on you. And I guess I could also do like the little disclaimer, right? The views expressed in this message are my own. They do not reflect Thrive Vineyard Church or its leadership, although they might. Okay. I hope they do. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into the survey. So Some people have already been answering this. Okay, you guys are rocking this thing. Okay, so the first question there, as you can see on your phones, hopefully, is, you know, kind of which kind of category do you put yourself in? So the first one is I tithe regularly. The second one is I desire to tithe, but I struggle to do it. It's hard for me to do. And the third one is why in the world would I give 10% of my money away, right? Okay, so now if only if you answered the first the question with the first answer, so that would be the blue one. If you part of the 26, you have a follow-up question. Each of you have a follow-up question, okay? So if you're part of the 26, let's go to the next question. And it's hard to read for some of you, so I will read it. The first one is, why do you tithe, right? I have so much money, I just don't know what to do with it all. The second answer is, I believe the Bible requires me to do it, so I'm doing it because the Bible says so. The third one is, I love giving, it gives me joy, so it's like how it feels for you to give. And the fourth one is, I want to fund the mission and the work of the church. All right, so nobody just because they have so much money. And those add up to about 26, 18, yeah, okay, everyone's voting. People changing their answers, what's going on there? All right, so that's interesting. So kind of split pretty evenly between the second, third, and fourth. Okay. Pardon? You can only vote for one. That's the way I got the free version of the poll, so you can only vote for one. And get good at it. Okay, we're going to go on to the second follow-up question. So this only answer the second one if you were in that second group, which you said, I desire to tithe, but I struggle to. It's hard for me. And then I gave you a couple possible reasons. The first is our budget's too tight. The second is I'm not aligned with my spouse, or my spouse won't support it in some reason, some variation of that. And the third is I'm not committed enough to any one church to give that much. And I think that one could be either you're kind of hopping around churches, this isn't your church home, or maybe you're here, but you feel like I don't feel good enough about this church that I would actually give my tithe, so I split it, or I don't feel comfortable doing that. All right. Survey says, a little hard to read. So for those who are struggling to tithe, almost everybody said our budget's too tight. One person, I'm not aligned with my spouse, I don't support it, or one, I'm not yet committed enough. Okay. Do any of these survey results surprise anybody so far, as you see them so far? I was actually surprised, like, actually literally we had zero people say, I just don't have any desire to tithe. So that first one's pretty amazing. The first follow-up question made sense. This one's actually, I don't know, that surprises me. But I guess makes sense. Okay, and then I don't think we had anybody say the third one. So let's do this. Everyone can vote for the third one, even though nobody was in the third category. So the third category was, I have no desire to tithe. So if you had no desire to tithe, and you're like, I would never give my money, which of those reasons would be closest to your own? Let's just have some fun. So the first one says there, I'm not a follower of Jesus yet. I'm an optimist. So I wouldn't engage in that level of commitment or sacrifice. The second one is, I don't believe that the Old Testament practice of tithing applies to Christians. The third is, I've never been taught about tithing. This is a new concept to me. Or D, I've been hurt, tricked, or manipulated in the past regarding finances. And that could be whether it's a church or home or business. And so I just am very wary about my money. Okay. So I can't read it from back there. So we have kind of split between, I don't believe the New Testament practice of tithings for today, and I've been hurt, tricked, or manipulated. Okay. Does this surprise anyone? Like, again, like, I guess this one we're all pretending, but so that's not very good data, is it? But makes sense? Anyone?
Yeah.
Think any of these are crazy? Okay. So the reason why I did this little poll was really just to get our juices flowing and get us thinking about the topic. Here, the question I want us to answer today is, should every Christian tithe? Right? Is that the clear teaching of the Bible? Is every Christian called and expected to tithe? And we're going to answer that question by answering five other questions. Kind of like you parents do all the time, right? Like you get a question, I'm going to answer your question. I see your question, and I raise you five questions. And then I'm going to share a little bit about how Sheree and I manage our giving, our tithing, our giving. And then if we have time, we'll do a little bit of brief Q&A, actually. But we will run out of time before any of the hard questions can be asked in the Q&A. I predict that. Okay. I'm going to just mention two quick resources here. The first is a book called Money, Possessions, and Eternity by Randy Alcorn. It's kind of an older book. I think it was written in 1989. Sheree and I read it earlier in our marriage. I went back and had notes from 1998. But it's been updated, and Randy has also written a couple of other more recent books on giving and tithing. It's really awesome. And I'm just going to say, I borrowed a lot from Randy. So Randy, wherever you are, thank you, because you helped me write my message. The other book is True Riches. This is a newer book. This is the millennial version. And these two guys, John Cortinas and Gregory Balmer, were MBA students at Harvard. They were Christians, but they were just like blown away by other Christians at Harvard who were basically like, they literally said like, what's your number? Like, what do you mean, what's your number? It's like, well, how much money is enough? And they're like, 70 million? Like, wow, you need to make $70 million, and then that's enough? And so they really took issue with, like, you know, give God 10%, save 10%. The rest of the 80%, I can do whatever I want with. And so they wrote this book. And so we actually read it as a family with my two teenage boys about a year and a half ago, and it was really good. So I encourage you to check out those two books. And then before we jump into the other thing I'm going to say is, I'm really aiming for your mind this morning. So there's times when making an emotional appeal is really good. We could tell a lot of stories about how God blesses people who do tithe, and those stories are real. But I just want to ground you in what the Bible says about tithing, and just for you to be really anchored. So it's a headshot, all right, here this morning. Okay, so let's jump in. So the first question of our five, the first question is, where did tithing begin in the Bible? Where did it begin? And it's interesting to note that tithing predates the Mosaic Law. So Moses gave the law. He did give rules in the law at Mount Sinai on tithing, but people were tithing long before that. And two just quick examples. One is Abraham, when he went to rescue his nephew Lot, and then the priest Melchizedek, who was some kind of priest who honored God in some way, was the priest in Jerusalem, and he blessed Abraham. And so Abraham said, I'm going to give a tenth of everything I have to you and to your ministry. So that's, I think, the first example of tithing in the Old Testament. And then Jacob, also long before Moses, when he had his vision of the stairway to heaven, he woke up. It's like, wow, God was in this place last night. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give God 10% of everything I have. Now, whether they followed through on that, we don't know. Whether they gave regularly, we don't know. Did the other patriarchs, like Isaac and Jacob's sons and so on, did they tithe? We don't know, but the point is, we do know that tithing was a common practice in the ancient Near East, and that these people did it, and it's not constrained to the law. And I think that that could become important to us as we tend to look at the full scope of what the Bible says about if tithing is for today. So that's just a little data point. Okay, But now let's see what happened when God formed the nation of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt with Moses, and he gave them the law. And so the second question, question number two here, is how did the tithe work in ancient Israel? And what were the main principles behind it? So it's good to know kind of where this thing started. So I'm going to start with a really clear verse. If you like, give me a great verse from the Old Testament on tithing. You want Leviticus, baby. You want Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 32. Should be on the screen. Let me read it. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Also, every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. So a couple of real simple things to point out here in this passage. It belongs to the Lord. It's his. It's not ours, right? But that 10% is not ours. It's his. Second thing that's pretty obvious from this verse is it applies to everything. Everything that you grow, all the animals that you have, right? The berries you collect along the way, you know, I don't know, probably. The herbs you grow in your garden, we'll hear more about that in a minute. Everything. And then finally, it was holy to the Lord, so not to be used for any other purpose, right? Like, I kind of think to myself, like, well, we need some more spears. The Philistines are acting up. Let's use that money. Like, no, that's holy to the Lord, right? That's for the Levites. That's for God's worship. So the big idea behind the tithe here, if we just step back for a second, more seriously, is that God does own everything, just like Carolyn's Devo for the offering said. So we could think of this as, I know it's a little crass, but that God owns everything, right? So he's the landlord, and we rent the place, right? The Israelites rented the land. That's not their land. I mean, Mike had his plot, and I have my plot, and he farms his, and I farm mine, but really, it's all God's, right? And so the first and foremost, the tithe taught them that God owned everything. And another way to think about this is that, okay, God owns everything. I give him back 10%. That reminds me about what with the other 90. Like, I'm constantly doing math, right? Here's your 10%. Oh, wait a minute. It's all yours. But you do let me, like, eat and live off this other 90%. Thank you. Very simple, right? But God set that up really so wisely. And so it reminds us that we're really stewards of all of it, that we're not the owners. So let me ask you this. We'll do audience participation again. Why do you think it's so important to our heart? Or why was it so important to an Israelite's heart to remember that God owned everything? If you put yourself back in that context, in that culture, what would that do to your heart if you had to remember all the time, every time you're farming, every time you're raising sheep, every time, you know, your cattle gave birth and they had healthy calves and you were thinking, you know, like, what would go through your mind? That God owns everything and you give him 10%. Gratitude, for sure, right? Like, you realize, wow, like, yeah, my rent is paying off. Like, he's giving me everything I need. He's giving me all this stuff. So gratitude. What else?
Generosity.
How so? I agree. How does it drive generosity?
Just because he gives us everything, and he's asking for a pittance of what we have.
Yeah. Yeah, from giving back to God, it also makes sense, like, I should give to other people too, maybe. Right? Yeah. Anything else?
You'd be counting.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh. You'd be counting, right? So it's like, one, two, three, you know, number 10 goes away.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it forces you to count your blessings. Because you can't tithe if you don't do the math. Yeah. Math's really simple. That was nice. The guy didn't make it like 13, right? I mean, 10%, just move the decimal, right? Yeah, it helps. Yeah, it keeps, we're just always remembering what God's bringing in. And then Caroline, well, you can, last one.
I was
going to
say it helps to release fear, because if I was a shepherd or a farmer, my wealth is reliant on things I can control, like weather and wild animals. And so to constantly be reminded that God is providing it would allow me to release some of that responsibility and rest in his provision.
Yeah.
If I was doing
Yes, right. It should foster trust, right? Yeah, and we're going to look at another concept in a minute, which is tied to the tithe that, you know, fosters even more. Yeah, Wendy.
It makes me want to take good care of it.
Because it's God's?
Yeah, and work with excellence. Yes.
Right. Like when Carolyn was borrowing Kevin's Jeep Cherokee.
I cleaned it up.
She cleaned it up.
That was not a real story.
Oh, man, I thought that was true. That's like an illustration. Like a parable. Like Jesus telling a parable. There's this woman who borrowed this Jeep. Okay. Okay, next point here. Just one more point on the tithe. And that is that the Israelites knew how important a tithe was to God. That they actually used the language and were familiar with, like, if you're not tithing, you're robbing God. Now, that is some strong language, right? But that is how they talked about it. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. This is a famous verse on this. But this is God speaking to his people through the prophet Malachi. And God is saying, will a mere mortal rob me, rob God? Yet you do, in fact, rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you, God? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So we could certainly, we could do a whole message on the second part of that, which is like people's testimony of when they began to tithe and how God began to release things and blessing in their life. And it was certainly true for Sherry and I. It happened really over a period of years. Not like, ooh, my first tithe. Wow. Check in the mail. But certainly, you know, and we could have many people. We could just do testimonies, right, for the rest of this time on that. But I'm focusing on the first part, which is very clearly, is there any doubt that God's saying, the tithe is mine. It's all mine. I only ask for 10%. And when you don't give it, I feel like you're robbing me. Right? Probably enough said. Okay. Now, actually, I said that. One more thing on the Old Testament tithe. One more thing. So I learned something in my research that there's not actually just one tithe. There are two or three tithes. And I had to check a couple sources because the first one I read is like, that can't be true. And so I like grabbed another like dictionary of the Bible book. But there are apparently three tithes. So the first tithe is the 10% that provides for the Levites and the priests, okay, and for temple worship. The second tithe provides for the festival. So they eat it and they party with it as a nation. And I would think that you get to eat a lot of what you bring, but it also goes to contribute to the festival. And they would often call that the festival tithe. But the third tithe was given to the poor, the widows and the orphans. Now that third tithe was every 3 years, okay? So the first two are annually, the third one every 3 years. And Cherie like totally rocked me with this math. She's like, that's 23%. I'm like, sweetheart, that's fast math. That's great. Yes, 23% on an annualized basis, right? Some years 30, 2 years 20. It averages out to 23%. Now, you could say, well, first of all, that's a lot, right? That's a lot. Now, you could say, but they were also a nation. So some of that is like kind of like our taxes, right? I mean, it went to the poor, so it's kind of like we give the Social Security and Medicare, kind of, right? And some of it was for national festivals, which would be like
highways,
you could say, right? Exactly. Thank you, JJ. But clearly, most of that 23% went to the Lord, right? Went to religious things in Israel, and they didn't have nearly the services we have. So whether or not you feel good about the taxes you pay or not, you do get roads, you do get an public education, you do get a military, you do get municipality services, you get a lot of stuff, right, for the money that we give. And so the point is, they gave a lot. Okay, the second big idea, so I'm still under question number two, right, which is like, how did the tithe work in ancient Israel, is this idea of first fruits. So not only were they commanded to give somewhere between two and three tithes, depending on how you count them, but they were asked to give of the first fruits in the land, right? So that would mean like three times a year, which I'd imagine would correspond with their agrarian society. So a crop comes in, or starting to come in, right? And you, whatever, you have a whole bunch of apple trees, and you're like, wow, the apples are starting to get ripe. You take, like, I'm going to have 1,000 apples, I hope. So you take the first 100, and you bring them to the temple, right? The other 900 haven't ripened yet. You don't have them. But you still bring, you give your 10%, from literally the first fruits, but it was the first and the best. So these two ideas overlap. So I don't think the tithe is separate from the first fruits. As you read the Old Testament, sometimes it's a little confusing. But I think they're probably, in my view, the same thing. But what they're saying is, so like tithing emphasizes the number, which is tenth, or tenth and a tenth and a tenth, maybe. At least a tenth. And first fruits represents give God the first, right off the top, give him the best, right? Okay, and then one other aspect of Old Testament giving, and that is the free will offering.